Dubai Eye 103.8.
Can we start just by saying how fortunate we are to be joined in studio by not one, but two extraordinary gentlemen. Two gentlemen who've taken time out of their days to come to speak to us, but more importantly, to speak to you, to raise awareness about an issue that, as I said a little while ago, we just don't talk enough about here, whether it be on the radio, whether it be in the press, whether it be around tables, around coffee, around dinner, whatever you might be doing, gatherings. We just don't talk about it enough. And that's why we need to make amends for that. This is a chat that is about hope. That is, if you are suffering from depression, there is always help. There's always hope. And you don't have to deal with it alone. The two players in this piece, one is Chris, Dubai resident, who on the 2nd of January this year, there's no easy way to say it, tried to take his own life in a villa that he was renting. Thankfully, Dubai police arrived just in time to rescue him, give him CPR and allow him to tell his story here today, but also to raise awareness from others that might find themselves in a similar position. The other player in this piece is the extraordinary Vic Fithlani, who is a member of the British Dads Dubai group. He was the one who, in fact, took the initiative at the beginning of January to call the police when he sensed that something was very, very wrong. Now, before we begin, we'd like to stress that this isn't just a conversation with a man who tried to take his own life. This is a message of hope. This is a conversation that we hope you can take something from, can take inspiration from, to either contact us or not even contact us. Contact others as well. There are many people out there at the moment who are suffering from depression. They might not realise it. They might not want to admit it. But there are many, especially men as well, tend to keep it to themselves, to keep their emotions in check, to not want to talk about it. But there is help. The hotline for Dubai Police is 901. That is their non-emergency number. And they offer a host of social services that we'll talk about a little later on. This time last week, we spoke to Dubai Police Officer Yusuf, who told us his account of what happened when he and his team found Chris.
We went directly to the home of the guy and we tried to open the door. And he was inside the room, and the room was locked at that time. We went down directly and got a ladder, put the ladder on the balcony, and just go fast to the balcony. It was so tough, but we broke it and came inside. And the guy was trying to hang up himself by a belt. At the last moment, thanks to God, that we reached to him and helped him and get for him a fast emergency. Just let him relax and talk to him. And ambulance came at like 4 to 5 minutes, maybe.
That was Dubai Police Officer Yusuf with us here on the show last week. Now, that interview prompted an unprecedented response from listeners out there. Unprecedented support and unprecedented praise for addressing a subject that we, as I said, so often don't talk about. To that end, I've got to say an unprecedented thanks to the man at the very centre of this subject, Chris Hale, who joins us here live in studio. Chris, thank you so much indeed for having the courage, having the wherewithal to be able to come here and talk about what is obviously a very emotional and personal subject to you. I suppose the first question for us all is, how are you getting on, man? How are you going?
Yeah, well, thanks very much. And, you know, what you've just said really does ring true about what's happened, how things go, etc., with regards to depression. I'm doing okay. I'm one day at a time. In terms of, you know, reaching out to the certain different people, different groups, such as I say, the police, the social groups, individuals who have been helping me, actually coming to terms with the fact that, you know, what I have or had for 20 odd years has been an illness which has controlled literally my life.
Mm. We've got to tell listeners, I mean, you've got no recollection of the moments leading up to the incident and the moments straight after the incident itself. So you heard there from Yusuf. We're going to be hearing from Vic as well. Mm. Now sitting there and hearing those details and having heard the details over the last couple of weeks, putting together the picture as well, has that helped you try and get over the process as well?
Yes. In terms of, you don't actually realize, you actually become a sort of, you're not yourself, you're being controlled by the depression. So your confidence dies, your sleep patterns change, you're hurting people around you, you're trying to, everything you're trying to do, you want to make success of, but you can't do it because this actually, you're becoming a false sense of yourself. Mm. You're not actually yourself. The last week or so has really brought it home for what I tried to do, and ultimately what I tried to do was I tried to kill the depression, and by killing the depression meant killing me, and that's literally how I felt. But you know, there's more. The support that I've had. I mean, you know, I can't say any higher than the guys, but you know, Dubai Police. You automatically think, oh, I didn't care about what trouble I might have been in or whatever. Yeah. But their understanding of the fact that it's an illness, and it wasn't, I wasn't almost, I say, I call it doing a Robert Maxwell. I wasn't disappearing. I was really just trying to lose what was inside me because it literally, I couldn't find an excuse to stay alive anymore. I question myself every day, and I get an answer every day, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day. I actually talk to myself. I was talking to myself about, right, I don't want any more.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore. No, no, no. You know, my son, you know, people around me that I love and, you know, and et cetera, they were the reasons. And I always thought the next day it would get better and better. And it wasn't because you're getting deeper and deeper into this depression of, and when you're a confident guy at some point, you turn into somebody who doesn't recognize himself and you're not, you know, you're not purposely hurting people, but you are hurting people. And I've hurt people and lost people. You know, people that I love and things like that, because I was, you know, I became irritable, sleep, weight, you know, the whole thing. Yeah. You lose control, to be honest with you.
You've just highlighted the support of Dubai Police and the intervention of Dubai Police. That wouldn't have been possible without the man alongside you, Vic, from British Dads Dubai. Tell us, what was the red flag that you noticed?
Well, I believe I was one of the last to speak to Chris on that Thursday evening. From an earlier message or an earlier reaching out on the group, British Dads Dubai. So I'd spoken to Chris that evening with a view to seeing what help I and other dads could offer. And then when the message came up from Chris, there was a sense of alarm amongst many of the other dads. And very early on, it occurred that we need to reach out to the police. I felt at that moment that I was the last to speak to Chris. And I'll be very honest with you. I did, you know, contemplate, do I, don't I? And I said to my wife at the time, I said, what do I do here? You know, I don't want to get in trouble. It's late in the evening. Called the police, who responded, to my surprise, very quickly. They were calling me every 30 minutes to give me updates. And as the evening progressed, you know, the support on the group was just incredible. I became very uneasy. And I have to say, at 1:40 in the morning, when the call then came from the police to say, look, we found Chris, he's not in a great position at the moment, not in a great state, I felt I had a duty to let the other dads know. And we were just talking, Chris and I, outside. People were awake, waiting for the news and waiting for the update. So the message I have is, look, you know, I, as any normal human would be, I did contemplate, but I'm so glad now, knowing what could have happened. Mm. And Chris and I have become good friends out of this.
That it's interesting. I'm going to talk to Chris in a bit about the stigma of talking about one's emotions. You just alluded to it, Chris, a few minutes ago, you know. You didn't care about getting in trouble because, you know, a lot of us that spend a bit of time here, there is this idea that if we try and do harm to ourselves, we aren't going to get in trouble. You know, we're going to get banged up. We're going to get in trouble with the law, etc. That's not the case now. There seems to have been a shift. And kudos to you as well, Vic, for also alerting that, because how often do we hear that of people out there, you know, whether it be passing a traffic accident or seeing something untoward and saying, it's just easier for me to bite my lip and not say anything in case I get in trouble. It takes people like you to sort of stand up to make that call, to make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was very surprised because my perception was that it's going to be quite a challenge to explain the scenario to Dubai Police and then get their support. But you're 100% right. There's been a shift. They responded very quickly. Every 30 minutes, I was getting a call from the lieutenant, and they took it very seriously. But beyond that, Tom, the next day, I was worried about the impact or the trouble that Chris would be in. But, you know, he's received flowers and chocolates from Dubai Police, other forms of support that they've provided. They offered to bring his son out from the UK. And Dubai Police have said to Chris, and they've called me a number of times and said, this is Chris's home. You know, we don't want him to disappear. This is his second home. Mm. And so I've been here 15 years, and I think what it does for me as a British expat, it gives me a huge amount of comfort knowing the support that we have here. Mm. I got my mind
set. This is The Agenda with Tom Urquhart.
Where opinions matter.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Chris and Vic still with us here in studio, and we are addressing the issue of depression. We're addressing the issue of mental health concerns for all, regardless of background, demographic, age, whatever it might be. We're talking about the concerns and your ability to talk about them. Chris, you were just before we go into the point to the break there. Vic was talking there about, you know, the support that the group's given, the support the authorities are given, and this sense of second home. And that really interests me because, you know, I'm trying to sort of empathise with the dark places that you got to before the incident itself at the beginning of January and the 20 years that you said that you've been struggling with depression, not really realising it. And probably part of that is not feeling a home. And as an expatriate over here and trying to work out where your home is, to then come out of an experience like that and say, no, this is your second home, Chris. This is your home as much as it is ours. That must be so gratifying.
Yes, and quite a shock when, as Vic was telling the story, you know, with regards to the police and the support around me from dads, not just dads, but people from other groups that have got on board, girls, women, men, etc., etc. The Dubai Police, for example, when I was admitted to the hospital. I spoke to a couple of the doctors who wanted to admit me, and I straight away said yes because I have to admit that, you know, that I needed the help. So the police were incredibly supportive. They had two policemen with me, 8 hours shifts for 3 days, 24 hours a day, six policemen. Very nice, talked to me. We had, you know, they would understand what I was doing. I didn't want for anything on there. Mm. Coming out of there and in a position where, you know, needed to find somewhere to live or whatever, because I lost everything. I lost everything. And I, as I said before, and I'm not going to harp on about it, but I hurt some people, not purposely, and I will make amends on everything because I want to highlight this and get better. But the police put me up in a hotel, wanted to fly my son over, you know, spoke to my son personally, Captain Fahad and Reem. I mean, Captain Fahad in the CID and his team, plus Reem on the PR, you know, picked up the phone and spoke personally to my son in the UK. And I just can't say, words don't express how much I feel the love for, you know, everybody. And as I say, Vic and other dads who, you know, they're not going to be named because that's not the point. It's what they can do and what they've done. And they didn't have to, but they reached out because, as we were saying last night, I was talking to two dads, I met them. They could.
Yeah.
And they wanted to because if the shoe was on the other foot, they would, you know, it would be great for others to do it for them as well.
Vic, talk to us about the importance of that community. Far too often, and I suppose far too easy for us to think that we are alone here. Just how important is community through groups like yours here?
Look, kids, it's very, very important. And I think what's been demonstrated with that one group alone, British Dads Dubai, about 4,000 members on there. It was very, very evident, the support that's there. But that group aside, there's other groups. And social media has evolved for me over the last few years, where there's portals for people like Chris who are going through issues to reach out to in a non-public environment. Where I got involved with this was Chris had reached out to British Dads Dubai anonymously and said, look, I need some help. There was a message on there, and it was that message that I'd responded to. There was a similar one a couple of months ago where, you know, people at the moment, Dubai is a very difficult place. People are losing their jobs. Economically, it's unstable. Relationships. And I think the message that I have is that just reach out. Mm. That particular group and that community is there. It is our second home.
And in the absence of, for many people, immediate family here as well, or wider family, I suppose that community, be it online, physical or otherwise, becomes your surrogate family in a minute.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, if you were to look on that particular forum, the messages that were pouring out on that particular night, people that don't know Chris, I didn't know Chris. The last count, I think, was around 350, 400 messages in the space of about an hour to an hour and a half. People don't know Chris, and they're reaching out saying, look, we're here, just talk. Come and have a beer with us. Come and have a coffee with us. Let's have lunch. Let's, you know. And I think that demonstrates that, you know, we're in an environment where we do have people around us. We do have support within a network environment.
Mm. Look, I know that you've got to get off. You've got a busy day ahead of you. So I really appreciate you coming in before 11 o'clock. Just before we let you go, though, quick one. I mean, if there are those out there, and there are, because I'm looking at the messages coming in at the moment, thanks to you guys coming in and talking about, there are those that want to talk about this more, be it through the official portals or, of course, through the groups. How do people get in touch? How do people reach out to communities like yours?
The British Dads Dubai group is it's a fairly transparent group. I know there's dads on there that are not Dubai residents. We have the Real Brits in Dubai group. There's various different types of forums that you can connect and get that support. I'm completely overwhelmed over the last couple of weeks. I had no expectations at all from this, but I'm available to talk to people. Yeah. If there's people in a similar scenario, similar situation to what Chris is going to, just reach out, whether it's a coffee, a discussion, you know, we're there to help.
Mm. It's amazing as well, isn't it, Chris, that, you know, your darkest moment, you know, pushed the brink as well. And it's brought together with friends for life as well, brought you a lot closer.
Absolutely. I mean, the people out there, even a couple of months before I did what I did, it was a position, somebody, and they know who they are. They were the first people to reach out through dads, through the British dads, but letting me stay for a month with them. I mean, the guy and his wife, incredible. Yeah. Then since then with Vic and other people who, again, they know who they are. They have made the effort because they want to help. Some of them can, some of them have said just even a phone call. Mm. And it does make it, you know, you do realise, as you say, an extended family almost. Mm. Because we all miss certain things and you know, I could talk more about actually how I feel or felt over the 20 years, but if people are out there, please, yeah. it can be, you know, it. People can help you. Hospitals, police, whatever.
You're kind enough to stick around and talk more about the sort of support you've been getting. So we'll continue that conversation with Chris. Just again, Vic, bless you, mate. Thanks so much indeed for coming
in. Thank you.
Thanks for all that you've done as well over the last couple of weeks. Bless you for being in touch with us.
On The Agenda, we love speaking to the outspoken.
This is your chance to join the conversation.
Text 4001.
Or message us for free on the Dubai Eye 103.8 app.
Okay, so as those that were listening will know, we've been joined in studio by Chris Hill, who joins us live in studio. He was saved by Dubai Police at the beginning of this year, the first couple of days of January, when he tried to, no easy way to say this, take his own life. He's been man enough to come and talk about that experience, an experience he doesn't remember a huge amount during the lead up to and straight afterwards. But since then, has truly come to terms, not just with the event, but with all of the reasons for the event. Vic told us what happened a little earlier on. This hour, we'll focus on recognising, well, what depression is. How do we recognise depression? Yeah, we see it in other people, but we never admit it in ourselves, do we? What about mental health illness as well? It's a big term, but do we ever feel bold enough, emboldened enough to admit it? And then what about getting help and the importance of community? First and foremost, let's get some of the messages that are coming through. Zina Zalameya is
lovely,
turning her attention to those.
Chris, some lovely, lovely messages coming. Messages of support for you from Finn. I applaud all involved in this incident, especially Chris, for speaking on this program. I would say to everyone, want to always report an issue that raises alarm bells. That's from Finn. Another one, it's from Anonymous. Please, ageism is a source of fear and potentially depression here. It would be fabulous if the country could honor the life and work experience of older expats, in addition to encouraging young people to step up to the helm. That is the opinion of one of our anonymous listeners. And of course, Sanjay said, are we really here for each other? Do we really give our best to people who need our support? Do we have our best to give to random strangers? Are we collectively trained to just look at everything through the lens of our lives and our perceptions? In Sanjay's opinion, we need to work harder to be there for each other without any agendas in place. Much love to Chris. Life is beautiful.
Indeed. Some lovely thoughts coming through there. We're also getting a lot of thoughts on Twitter and online, which we'll address in just a few moments' time. A lot of people just asking how you are, Chris, which is really gratifying to hear. Yeah, okay, we've talked about the incident. We talked about just on that one. And again, I don't want to dwell on the moment,
okay,
things like
fine.
That. But the timing was interesting to me. 2nd of January.
Yeah.
A lot of people will look at that and go, oh, it's meant to be a time of celebration.
Yeah.
It's meant to be a time of everyone coming together, etc. But on the flip side, it can be a very lonely time as well.
Yes, and as we were saying during the break, I mean, you know, I'm quite happy to this sort of lead up time, and because it's been on for so many years. But the last couple of months of the year, where I was helped and feeling bad, and you know, had broken down a relationship, all my fault. But I got to the Christmas day, and you know, was on my own. In a way, didn't mind to a certain extent, but because I know what I was feeling. And as I say, you when you've got this, you're papering over the cracks. You're not actually yourself, and so you don't want to bring anyone else down because you're down, if you like. And got to New Year's Eve, and same again. And you know, it came to a stage where, as I've said before, this was me trying to. I wasn't running away from anything or whatever. I wanted to kill what was inside me because it was winning that last 24 hours.
Yeah.
And I tried to question it. I tried to see if there was any positive. I couldn't find one. And I thought to myself, right, okay, if I'm not here, it's not here. And it was really it's that simple. And you know, I'm not going to make excuses for anything. It has ruled me.
Yeah.
You know, it's controlled things like, you know, my difference in weight, my concentration, my personality, how I've treated things, how I've dealt with things, confidence levels, you know, feeling sad and empty, and every day thinking about it. I mean, seriously, every single day. Mm. And that's not, even when I'm enjoying life, when I was with people that are nice and that I love and I'm in relation, whatever, and my family, you do still get the feeling.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it never goes away.
So what I found fascinating is that you live with this, as you said, the condition that you're now able to recognise the depression that you've been suffering for, as you say, about 20 years. And yet, within the space of 10 days, albeit over after a potentially very tragic incident, but over the space of 10 days, here you are, sitting to me, talking about this very openly at the moment, talking to the rest of the UAE, getting your life back together. How has that happened in 10 days?
Well, because when obviously being saved by the police and going to the hospital and actually admitting to the doctors, yes, I need help. You know, please do help me. They want to offer. They offered the counselling into the psychiatric ward. You know, getting into a structure where you knew you were safe, the support from the police, the support from the dads, the fact that, you know, I'm still day by day. It's not going to go away automatically. You know, I still wake up and think, right, okay, this is a new day. I've made the conscious decision that I've got to get back to the Chris I recognised so many years ago. Mm. You know, what's happened over the early 2000s? There's a lot of it's a combination of many things, deaths, separations, whatever. I'm not, you know, people deal with it differently, the severity of it. It can be short term, it can be long term. Mm. But thinking about the threat of suicide every day, I don't want other people to do. So this isn't about me. I mean, if myself and Vic coming in here, if one person can go to a hospital, walk into the emergency ward, just see a doctor, speak to the police, Speak to somebody who can actually advise them. These, you know, everyone's done what they've done because they can recognise that maybe some of them have dealt with it. I've spoken to dads and people who have messaged me, young and old, believe me, from, you know, early 20s to people that have suffered it for longer than I have, 25 years. A guy yesterday I spoke to, incredible, you know, and he's battled it. And, you know, he's asked for help or he hasn't asked for help. I didn't go into that because you don't want to embarrass people. You know, you feel quite embarrassed to sort of do it because, as Vic said, you know, being a man, you think, oh, it's going to go away then. I'll wake up tomorrow, it's gone. You know, you're basically relying on things like outside dependencies. You're changing your persona to try and be a normal person. But it's always there, and you want to try and feel yourself again, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't work.
Let's get some more of those messages that are coming through online before we go down the line of how to try and find more support and what you need to be conscious of. Zines, people having their say online.
Thank you, Rhea Matthew. This is on Twitter, by the way, Tom@Rhea_Matthew. Bravery. So much love to Dubai Eye for talking about this live on air. Such an important issue, and folks need to know that it's okay not to be okay. Grab a loved one. Let's talk about it. Let it all out. Byron James also texted Byron_Barrister. In our area of work, divorce, I guess he's a divorce lawyer, it's something we come across a great deal. It's hard for expats, especially. You can often feel isolated from family and home without anyone to confide in or turn to. Really good that you are covering this. Sarah Jamie Bahar @SarahJBahar also said, wow, really pleased to see this topic being addressed publicly by such a brave guest, Chris. Excellent work. And finally, Daniel Mark Evans. Thank you, Daniel, for texting in or tweeting love and light to Chris. So brave for coming on the air to talk about this. A life will be saved because of this, I'm sure.
Yeah. Listen, if that's the smallest thing we can do, then certainly we've done our bit today. Thanks to the help of Chris, Vic and the rest. Before we hear again from Chris and the experiences he's been through, but also what he's learnt from this awful experience, let's hear from Johanna Richmond, I should say, from the Cognitive Behaviour Clinic, talking about the importance of getting help. How many of us feel empowered, emboldened enough to seek help?
Mental health can be fragile, and it's important people have access to psychological therapists. Such problems such as anxiety and depression don't go away on their own. In fact, they can get much worse over time. With anxiety, because of the physical discomfort, people are more likely to eventually seek help. However, with depression, people tend to isolate themselves, lose motivation, and choose not to talk about how they're feeling. In many cases, it is a family member or a close friend who will encourage the person to seek help because they can identify that this person is suffering.
So are there red flags? Are there signs to keep an eye out for to see if someone is suffering, if someone is depressed? Let's hear now from Dr. Janine Girard, psychologist at Insights Psychology.
So one of the symptoms is feeling sad or empty, bearing in mind that these symptoms should be seen for weeks. So it's not just 1 week or 2 weeks. We expect to see these for more than 6 weeks in a row. Sometimes they are due to a bad incident happening. That is different than a major depressive symptom. So if there was an incident that happens and then the person was feeling empty or sad for a few weeks, that is normal. However, if the symptoms persist for more than 6 weeks, then we would call it depression.
Chris is with us here in studio talking about his experiences, experience that almost saw him take his own life. Thankfully, thanks to the intervention of many, of which we've honoured already and spoken about already, he's here to tell his story and hopefully raise the awareness and shine the light for others that are in a similar situation. Talk to me about red flags. I mean, are there red flags when you're going through the sort of levels of depression that you now admit that you were going through? Were there red flags at the time, or were they always something that you could put away?
No, there's definitely red flags. You know, as you heard with the dots, as you're questioning yourself, you're feeling sad and empty. You don't want to feel empty, and you shouldn't feel empty because you're in either a relationship or feeling happy. But things like, you know, losing family, and as I say, the severity of depression can be triggered by just something small. If you start to think about you don't want to be here anymore. If you're questioning your own confidence, things like, you know, weight loss. I lost a lot of weight. I put a lot of weight on over the 20 years, and you know, it was you question yourself making, as I say, making decisions for business, making decisions for personal life.
But then is there any, at what point do you go, all right, Chris, I have a word myself, I'm going to go and seek help. Was that ever on the cards or not?
Yes, I mean, back in the UK, definitely, because I, you know, there was positions where I was trying suicide, even in the UK. Mm. You know, I sort of remember, I don't remember sort of 3, 4, 5 years of the early 2000s, yeah. Bit of a blur. Yeah. You know, you were basically, you changed your whole life around. You were depending, and you were almost like a chameleon.
Yeah.
And you were questioning yourself 24/7. I went to see a counsellor in terms of somebody that looked almost like a Samaritan.
Yeah.
I didn't go to hospitals. I wouldn't tablets because I didn't think I needed them. I thought I'd wake up the next day and business would be great again. I'd be happy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it never actually happened. And you get deeper and deeper into it. And as you get deeper and deeper into it, you sort of get to a stage where you're actually annoyed with yourself. You really do feel angry. Yeah. And you actually take it out on others as well. You're basically, you know, you make people feel uncomfortable without meaning it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different things, and it is weird how wide-ranging it is and what can set it off.
Join the conversation on The Agenda.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
We are in conversation with Chris Hale. Chris has had an experience at the beginning of this year when, because of a number of emotions, because of a number of events in his life, he felt that his life wasn't worth living to the point that he tried to take his own life. Thankfully, thanks to the quick interventions of various Facebook groups here, various individuals, and of course, the Dubai police and others, he's here to tell his story. And it's not about him, as Chris keeps saying. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about me sitting here and going, oof, that was close. I came so close to something disastrous. And then I wouldn't have been able here to help others, to help spread the message that if people are in a similar situation, then what can they do to seek help? And is it, how much of it is about being a bloke as well?
Quite a lot, I think. You know, in fact, yes. Guys are obviously stubborn. Guys want to be sort of the fact that they're dads, whether it be breadwinners, non-breadwinners, yeah. The fact that you think, I'm all right, Jack, I can deal with it. I don't want to show any weakness. Will I be, you know, is there a stigma on this? Or somebody going to say, that's a cop-out. You know, this is an illness. And as I say, you know, I wanted to kill the illness by killing myself. And that's purely what it was. You know, the fact that there's now, I've looked at it now where I've said, right, I want some. If one person can come forward, and the one person who's suffering, job is done. But it needs highlighting, and I'm willing to highlight it as much as I can. And also with regards to the groups that you mentioned, the helps, I'm going to be seeing a psychotherapist and Dr. Michael at the hospital where I was. Mm. There's a group that was set up. It's called Any Man. There's also one called Any Woman as well. Yeah. So let's not forget that it is both male and female, without a doubt. And I've heard from young ladies, women who have messaged sort of saying, you know, it's in me. I'm suffering from it. I spoke to a wife of a particular dad over the weekend, and she said, you know, it's probably more in guys. And she was quite adamant about this because she said, we talk more than you do. And she was saying that, you know, we meet and greet, and whether we're coffee days or whatever, I don't know, in work, sitting there outside having a cigarette, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, she actually said to me, we will talk about things more than you guys will, which was true. And, you know, the thing with this Any Man and Any Woman, I'm actually going to attend, as will another, I think, 11 dads or 11 men. We're all equal. We don't know none of us know who's going. It's at JLT, the company Any Man. If just go on to the, I think it's anyman.ae or .me. I'm not too sure, but you can actually just ask for help. You know, there's other places, a safe space. There's all these different things. Yeah. But the big thing is walk into the hospital, phone the police, you know, speak to a friend, speak to anyone.
That that number again, Zina, I know that we are reiterating it, and of course we will push it online as well, but the non-emergency number, that's the way to go through it, isn't it?
Yes, that's the Dubai Police's emergency number, 901. They offer a host of social services. They will support you. They will guide you in the right direction. But of course, if you know any hotlines, any support groups, please share them with us. We're happy to read them out on air.
One thing that I just want to address with Chris is a hindrance, I think, that pulls a lot of people, holds a lot of people back. Not just, you know, we talk about depression and, you know, Sunday morning, isn't it? How many people have come into the office? You've gone into your office. How was your weekend? Oh, it's all right. You know, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm a bit depressed. You know, it's one of those phrases we use as a throwaway phrase as well. And until we get to the bottom of that, until people start taking depression more seriously, it is now a clinical condition, as the medical community have been saying for a long, long time. Until it gets the weight of respect that it sort of deserves, I think this is going to be an issue, isn't it?
Yes. And what you just said there is very important that when you get into work and you say, oh, I was depressed, you know, depressing weather, blah, 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 blah. But some of these people are actually on their own over those weekends. People know whether they've got it or not, to a certain extent. If you've got those feelings of, you know, you want the suicide thoughts, the lack of concentration, the thoughts of losing control, confidence, you know within yourself how long you've had it. You can read back and see certain events that might have set it off. It is very much a case of, it's got a stigma. You know, it can be perceived by certain, by certain people as, oh, right, it's a cop-out, whatever, whatever. It's not. It really isn't. Because everything that happens around that is due to this depression. You're not purposely going out of your way to do these things. And believe me, I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've hurt, and as I say, I've upset people, and whatever. And I'm so embarrassed. I'm ashamed of myself to a certain extent now, because I thought, why did I do these things? But I did these things because I didn't know how to deal with my life. You know, you think the next day it'll be better, and it's really not. And I don't want to harp on about it, but, you know, I was trying to kill this disease.
Kudos to @DubaiI1038FM for addressing one of the most important issues of our time. We need to stop feeding into the notion of be a man that vilify mental illness. Thank you very much indeed for that one. That's from one of our listeners. Zines has got some more comments that are coming through to us this morning.
Yes, Shahida got in touch to say, I'm so grateful and relieved that, you know, attempted suicide is not treated as a criminal matter here. We need help, and help is here. And in fact, the police are saying this is a policy change on their side, that instead of prosecuting individuals who tried to take their own lives, they choose to send help.
Listen, Chris is doing his bit here, as are a number of you, by raising awareness today. But I think in that light, and for 2020, all of us need to be more conscious, more cognizant of the red flags, if you like. I don't really like that phrase as such. But what are the warning signs out there? Dr. Nain Girard, the psychologist at Insight Psychology, gives us more insight.
In some men, we have a loss of interest in work, family activities, anything that used to bring them joy or interest. All of a sudden, they lose interest in these activities that used to bring them happiness. Some men report feeling very tired, oversleeping, or insomnia. Some men report difficulty concentrating, changes in eating habits, so overeating or not eating at all. Sometimes men report thoughts of suicides or suicide attempts, or just feeling that their life does not have meaning anymore. Of course, some men complain from somatic complaints such as headaches, digestive problems, and of course, finally, the inability to meet daily responsibilities, so daily functioning, going to work, being a husband, being a father. So these are some of the symptoms to look out for. If it's just one of these symptoms, it's not enough for us to diagnose with depression. It has to be at least three of these symptoms combined.
Are you nodding away to any of those symptoms out there at the moment? If you are, then it might be worth you getting in touch, not just with the show here, but feel free to reach out to us, but also to the official line of Dubai Police, 901. Some embassies, such as the Indian Embassy, have hotlines. Call the emergency services. If you are suffering from depression, if you are struggling with your mental health, before it gets too late, 901 is a good place to start.
You're listening to The Agenda.
It's all about your news and your views
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
One of the issues that we've noticed here, and we think needs to be addressed during this conversation, is cost. One big hindrance to getting help is that sessions can be expensive. Zina, you did some digging into this one. Insurance companies still sort of a bit of a grey area, this one, isn't it?
Yes, and we've discussed this many times on The Agenda. A lot of people saying, texting in, you know what, I go into, you know, a session, it's 800 dirhams, I can't afford the next one. And even if I have to go regularly, that's going to take a toll on my finances. So the message is more insurance companies need to cover mental health, and more companies, you know, that sponsor employees need to cover mental health.
Johanna Richmond from Cognitive Behavior Clinic says this.
In the UAE, few insurance companies cover psychologists or psychiatrists, particularly for those in the lower income bracket who are struggling already to cover the cost of living. It can be very expensive, and people just can't afford the necessary sessions.
There's an irony there, isn't there, Chris? Because one of the big issues that is causing anxiety, stress, manifesting in depression at the moment is financial concerns for people out there. And yet that could be that sort of self-perpetuating problem, because if you want to address it, you still got to dip into your pocket to seek help.
Absolutely. I mean, I got a message yesterday from somebody who said the cost of it is so much. And he said, you know, why aren't the insurance? And he was starting to talk to me about insurance, you know, and it's not just here. I mean, obviously, you know, it's huge in the UK and things like that, where companies can do more, and they are doing more. And obviously, you know, the police are doing more. Everyone is trying to do more and can do more, because this country, you know, in the UAE, we are, the UAE want expats and anyone that lives here to be happy. Mm. That's the message that I got from the police. You know, we want this to your second home, etc. We love it that you've helped us develop the country. You know, it's 48 years old, and look at it. You know, but there are things that get sort of swept under the carpet, if such, and things like mental health and depression cost, you know, could be one of those. And I think that the UAE can actually take a lead by looking at it, by talking to insurance companies and businesses, and saying, look, more people will sort of come out and ask for help if they realise that they can be helped, you know.
Let's wrap things up by finding out more about where you're at. You talked to us about your, you know, how far you've come in the last 10 days and the recovery and the acceptance, etc. You mentioned British Dads Dubai and the sort of support you've been getting from them. What next for you? I mean, do you want to stay here? Do you want to move on? What's what?
No, I want to stay here. I need to. There's certain things I need to do for my own well-being, which is making amends on certain things that have happened while I've been suffering with the depression, and that goes back over into when I was in the UK. You know, I've always been somebody that's wanted to sort of do my own thing, and I've done it before. But I have to be realistic. I think, you know, support for me is now working for a company. I'm out there looking, but I've got dads who have been absolutely incredible by contacting their people that they know and work with. Some people have been following me in terms of this. So they've seen when I tried to kill myself, and they've reached out and said, you know, let's have a chat. There
so
is
that
something.
Practical support. I mean, yeah, we're talking about sort of, you know, talking psychologists, psychiatrists, but people recognising that one thing that'll get you back on track is
absolutely
a job.
But the thing about the job is the fact that once you've got it, and this is where you actually you fail, because your confidence does take a massive kicking.
Yeah.
You know, you are not yourself in what you want to do, and you question your decisions and everything else. Now, I know that. It's, as I say, I'm going to take the medical help, and I'm going to, you know, seek out for the medical help which the hospital have offered, etc., because it is a disease. But hand in hand is that if I've got people around me, you feel a lot more confident. Mm. You know, with regards to the jobs, you know, people that you know. And I've done it, and I've been back. I've been normal, but it's always been there. Mm. I felt normal, should I say? Yeah.
Final one from me, Chris.
Mm.
January 2nd this year, you got to a point where you literally sat on the edge of your bed and you said, "Look, I've got nothing to live for." You got to that point. 10 days later, given the outpouring of support, given the outpouring of the networks that you've sort of found yourself in, be it British Dads Dubai, be it Dubai Police, be it the medical services, is there something to live for? And is that the message that we're giving to not you and I at the moment, but others listening at the moment?
Yes, I mean, the message is reach out. I mean, the message is ask for help. The message is make those phone calls. You know, I've found it quite inspiring in terms of the fact I want to do more. You know, I want to be able to sit down with the authorities over here and just say, look, this is what you've got to recognise, guys. This is what you can do. But the next stage, it's small steps, because it's never going to go. It is an illness, but it can be managed and looked after. And as you build your confidence back up, you become a lot more sort of aware of spotting it. I will always now ask. I'm not going to be that stubborn guy who gets lost in the dark. You know, it's darkness. You're in four walls. You can't move. You don't know where to go, and it's very, very horrible. And to kill myself because I wanted to kill a disease. I didn't want anything else apart from killing that thing, disease. I didn't want it in my mind anymore. I didn't want to feel like that. And you know, my son and my family and friends, I was being maybe selfish, I don't know, but what I was thinking was, if I'm not here, it's not here. I can't deal with it anymore.
The good news is that you are
but
here,
I am.
And
yeah.
You're helping others. We will post all of those links, the places that we've talked about, Any Man, Safe Space, DXB, Mental Health. We're going to post all of those links onto our sites now. Chris, can't thank you enough for coming on in, helping yourself to one part, but more to the other, helping others out there that are in a similar situation to recognise their problems before it's too late. Great to see you making such amazing progress. The world's a better place for having you in it. You've got to remember that. So thank you again for coming in, sharing your story. It's not the end. We will continue this for sure.
Absolutely.
We'll make it a regular thing to see how you're getting on.
Yeah.
But again, from all the team down here at Dubai Eye, thank you for your story.
No, thank you for help giving me, you know, giving us the chance to sort of help somebody else out there. It's got to be done.
Good on you, Chris.
Thank you.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.